I'm excited to be talking with Fresno State alum and MLB outfielder Jordan Luplow. Welcome, Jordan.
And how are we doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So, what is this? The Lupinator? Should I be calling you the Lupinator?
Oh man, I don't know when that started, but I don't know. Someone made something while I was playing with Cleveland, and I had to throw it up on the Twitter, and it was a pretty cool picture. So,
That's awesome.
yeah.
I'm halfway through the new Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix. So, the timing of seeing that, I'm a big fan. So, it fits. But well, listen. First of all, congrats on the recent engagement. I need to know, more nervous to your first MLB at bat, or getting engaged?
Oh, at bat for sure. Come on, man. Come on. This was a long time coming. It was a good moment, special. Yeah, man, it worked out good. Did it at Niagara
Awesome.
Falls, and yeah, it was good.
I mean, she said yes, so it had been good. So there's only it's really just pass fail there. So
That's all you got.
that's all you got. But so talking about first of all, take us to July 28th, 2017. What do you remember from that day?
The main thing I remember is wearing the wrong jersey out to the field first. That's what I did first. Because they in the big leagues they hang the jersey that you're gonna wear that day, and I just thought, because I wasn't on the roster yet. I had never been in big league camp. I was just straight like coming from the minor leagues. I just had was having a good year, and I got called up, and so I was like, oh, the locker rooms are so big here that they have to put your jersey up to see from across the way, like to where your locker is. And so I just thought that was the one that just hangs there, and it's kind of like, hey, this is your locker. And so I put the other one on to go out there, and Gerrit Cole was like, hey, I'm gonna say this because it's your first day, you got the wrong jersey on. And I almost went out there with the wrong jersey, so that wasn't a good start. But yeah, dude, I mean, it was a great day. Didn't get my first hit or anything, but it was in San Diego in California. Family got to come down. It was pretty special.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're talking about California. You played baseball at Fresno State, and your teammates with Aaron Judge for 2 seasons. What do you remember from those early days?
Man, I mean, it's hard not to acknowledge his work ethic. Like, he would be in the weight room every day. Pushing people, pushing the team, and I would always try and be with him in the weight room or wherever he's going, because he just has that like energy and that will to get better every day. And it sucks hitting batting practice with him, because you just can't compare yourself to that. He's 6'7", I think he's like 260 now, but like, you just can't compare yourself to that. But he brought all the scouts out, and got a good look at some other guys too. But no, he was a great dude, great teammate, and just ultra competitor.
Yeah, for sure. So going back, here. So actually after that, but you hit both East and West Coasts, or in the US here, from where you're an all-star in the historic Cape Cod Baseball League and then the Alaska Baseball League. I'm curious about the Alaska Baseball League. What was it like up there?
Dude, that was by far my favorite summer I've had. It
Wow.
was four dudes in a basement in Anchorage, Alaska, and we were just rocking it, man. It was so much fun. It was the sun never sets there, so it's kind of like the darkest it gets is like just before sunset. Yeah, I mean, it was just a lot of fun, man. Like, playing, you'd play, you'd go work out, you'd play some, shoot some hoops or hang out with the boys, and then you'd sleep until 1 or 2 and then do it all over again.
Nice.
I had a pretty cool host parent too. He was actually the chef for the Grateful Dead,
Wow.
the band. So
Wow.
he was a hippie, could cook well, man. It was pretty cool.
Specialize in like weed back brownies or something like that.
definitely got a hint here and there, but
yeah,
he kept it pretty hidden from us.
There you go. Just doing some research on you and all that. Seems like you're pretty big into fantasy sports. Is that true?
Oh yeah, man. I love it. I love it. That's my off-season thing, dude. Like, yeah, I live and die for it.
That's awesome. And so do you, are you like, what sport do you focus on? Are you football or are you, or do you do baseball fantasy?
Only football fantasy.
Oh,
That's really
football.
all. I don't watch like anything else. Honestly, I don't really watch baseball. I don't watch
Yeah.
basketball or anything. It's like if I'm watching something, it's going to be football. So
That's awesome. And then so looking at like if you Google your name and you're just like kind of even your presence on social media, you'll see you like clearly have an eye and a leg off the field, and you have your own logo, the JL logo. And so how did the first of all how did the logo come to be, and kind of your it's what seems like focus on the business world?
yeah, that's something I've tried to work on the past few years. The logo was originally for the animal clinic out in Cleveland. I was kind of getting some leverage in Cleveland. I started to play well, and I came up with an idea with my agent, like, hey, we should make a logo with these shirts, and we'll sell them, and all the proceeds go to this clinic. Because I really liked working with them and they took care of me and they were just really cool people. So, it started with that and it never came to fruition. I got hurt, I got traded, and just like other stuff happened, but, I kind of kept it and, I would give it to people that I would, come across and who were fans and they just liked the logo. You know, it's pretty unique and it's something you can't just buy online. So, I kept it. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so definitely I'd love to hear more of what you have going off the field. I know you have the FTB Golf Co. Golf gear. And it looks like you've also partnered with like Rome Luggage, Lovesac, and Celsius.
Yeah. I've done a little bit of stuff with Celsius, Rome Luggage, right? And then this golf company is now FTB. It used to be called Breezy. There was some stuff that was going on, but we changed it to For the Birdies, and it's a new company out of Kansas City. This guy's pretty cool. It's just kind of really nice stuff to wear on the course. Unique logos, unique designs. So we're trying to get that kind of rolling. I have this company as well. I'm kind of with is Rad Golf. It's right now it's got speakers, it's got the laser, and with the speaker and the laser you can bring them together and it can kind of track your golf score, like how many fairways you hit, how many greens you've hit, and it gets a sense of if you enter your clubs when you hit from the distance. It kind of gets a tracks your game too, so that's pretty cool. We're working on a golf gambling system right now. We're trying to get an app going that's kind of user friendly, and because I mean, how many times have I been out on the golf course, making bets like, how do you owe me, what'd you get on that hole, like how much do you owe from that, what am I down, am I down 100, up 100, or whatever, So we're just trying to make it user friendly to keep your score and gambling bets all kind of in one system and make it kind of easier. And then I got into this company called Serenus. It's actually psychedelics and cannabis. And
was that influenced by the Grateful Dead, Chef?
a little bit. No, I met him through my trainer out in Arizona. So, I just talking to this guy and just kind of seeing what his vision is as far as what psychedelics are can do for people. I've been doing research on them. I'm a big UFC fan, obviously football fan, and what they can do for concussions and head trauma, depression, PTSD, all that kind of stuff. All these studies are starting to show that these psychedelics are helpful in that area. So I'm getting in with this company that is based out of Canada, that is kind of more on a global scale. It's not just centralized to US. They're opening cannabis in Germany. That's now becoming legal. They got some in like South America. Obviously Canada, is legal for psilocybin. Yeah. So they're just trying to get into the market early. And they're doing research and trying to essentially be the, you know, what cannabis was 15 years ago, trying to get that in the psychedelics too. But, they're kind of a mix of cannabis and psychedelics. And, so yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm excited about that one. That one's, pretty, pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, you'll definitely have to keep us updated so the community here at Plainfield can support. And I, you know, even the golf app, I'm sure there's somebody, listening that would want to invest or support, you know, support that. We have a lot of golfers here in Plainfield. So you had mentioned that, you know, you're in the minors right now. And so I'm curious how you deal with the pressure, you know, when you're up in the majors. And, you know, I feel like when you're kind of like a, you know, you're on that borderline, I guess is the best way to put it. But like, how do you deal with the pressures of each at-bat and each play of the game? You know, just knowing how closely you're watched, like, do you feel that every time you go up to bat, that extra pressure?
I mean, I think everyone feels it. I think it doesn't matter if you're playing every day or you're a guy like me that will only face, you know, left-handed pitching or get that spot start. I mean, obviously for me, it's hyper-focused because I could sit with that at bat for 4 days after, you know, if I don't play for another 4 days. But I think it just comes down to the simple term of like every pitch is, you act like it's your last pitch, but then after it's over, every pitch is just a pitch. Yeah. Or every at bat's just an at bat. And so like in the moment, obviously you focus as much as you can, you do the best you can, you prepare as best as you can, and then you just kind of let the chips fall where they may. And that's really all you can do. I've gone through the kill yourself until you get it right. I've done the, don't care as much. You know, I think there's a line you gotta hover around where it's, I care, but I don't care. You know, it's, cause it's baseball. I mean, baseball's different than any other sport. The failure is just, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not. So it's just kind of, you just got to stay on the same plane, man. You got to be the same guy, try and bring the same energy to every at bat, every situation. And that's it, man. Being on the borderline and up and down guy is not easy. And I think they know it, teams know it. So, you just go out there and just do your best, man. As simple as it sounds.
Yeah. Is there something, do you have like a certain self-talk or something you say to yourself before you go up to these bats or kind of a, you know, a routine you go through?
Yeah. I just think this breath work is been big for me. I think, learning what gets me more up if I need it and what gets me to calm down. I think there's different ways. I've been learning how to channel that and bring it to every at bat because I feel like there's a certain looseness and relaxedness, but also focus and you know, tenseness I need to be at, I guess. So I try and get that. I try and get right in that area, that
sweet
that
spot
line where it's, yeah, yeah. So breath work has been big for me and just, you know, not making the situation bigger than it is, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild what you guys do. I always think about these guys and how performing under pressure, it's such a unique skill because not most people to be able to perform under the pressure you guys all do is, wouldn't be easy. So, last question. And so I saw a few, you know, home runs from you with, some solid bat flips, and my world's kind of football world. And I, I see like the bat flip as kind of like this, you know, the touchdown dance, if you will. So how do you think about your bat flip? Do you plan for your bat flip, you know, or, you know, your post home run trot there with the bat flip? Like how's planning going into that?
I don't know. For me, there's no planning. For me, it's in the moment, man. It's most of my bat flips are after I'm 0-for-4 or 0-for-3 and I'm just like pissed off. So yeah, it's more of just an anger, like thank God I finally got a hit and they're like got solid contact, what I've been trying to do this whole day, you know. It's more of a relief, kind of like finally, for me. But some of them are more personal, I guess, if I'm being honest, like if I know the pitcher or if I don't like the pitcher or, you know, I think he's got my number or vice versa. I definitely, it gets a little more intense with the flips or the drops. So
that's awesome. Well, Jordan, I really appreciate the time today and definitely looking forward to following along your career and wishing the best of luck and also good luck with the wedding planning. If I learned anything, it's her day, whatever she wants, let it go. That's my, I'll end with that advice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I need that, man. The combos have not been easy, but appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Just enjoy the wine sampling. At least you can help pick that.
Yeah. I'm the food wine guy. That's me. That's going to be my forte.